Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. If you mess up, if you confess what you've done, get up, leave your pity party behind, and begin moving on to experience the rich and satisfying life God says can be yours through His Word. But be warned right now, this teaching will directly impact your spiritual well-being and personal enrichment, whether you realize it at first or not. You may feel like that you've totally blown in the past, but God.
Hallelujah.
But God. Say hallelujah again.
Hallelujah.
But God still has your back.
Amen.
That statement is guaranteed in the scripture. It's not something that we're saying just to make you feel better.
That's right.
Here are seven reasons why it's okay if you've messed up in the past, as long as you fess up, get up, and move on. Number one, God will forgive your sins.
Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. This is in the Classic Amplify Bible. It says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will, in purpose, thought, and action.
What a scripture. Now, that's what we call great news. If we admit our sins and confess them, He will forgive us. Not only that, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why does 1 John 1:9, what does it identify as unrighteousness?
It says He will continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness and everything not in conformity to His will in purpose, thought, and action.
Okay. We're unrighteous, not just because of what actions we take, but sometimes because of what we think about. But praise God, hallelujah, He continuously cleanses us from unrighteousness. Number two, when you confess your sins, He will not deal harshly with you.
Psalm 103:10-12. In the New Living Translation, He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has moved our sins as far from us as the east from the west.
Sometimes we beat ourselves up over our mistakes more than anybody else ever would. Think about it. Number three, when we pray for others, dynamic and destiny-changing power is released into our lives.
Wow. James 5:16 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that ye may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
Hallelujah. What a great scripture. When we pray for one another, power is loosed in the spirit realm, and it begins working in and through us.
Not only that, Job 42:10 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
When we pray for other people, we have ready access to dynamic power. Everything the enemy has ever taken will be restored. Plus, we'll have twice as much as we had before. Hallelujah.
Mm-mm.
Number four, God not only forgives our sins, He forgets him as well.
I love that. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Isaiah 43, 25 in the Classic Amplified Bible. I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake. I love that, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not remember your sins. The Message Bible translation of Isaiah 43, verse 25 says it this way. But I, yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins.
You know, we've had these scriptures recently, but one of the reasons is because the devil continually tries to bring back past mistakes to drop a load of guilt at your house. You can't afford to let him do that. In fact, I want to share a story with you. I remember hearing this story of a prophet who traveled to a particular city. His gifting allowed him to read people's mail. And by that, I mean revealing things in their past, detailing things currently happening in their lives, and giving a prophetic word for their future. This one pastor was planning to attend the meeting, asked his wife to accompany him. She told him simply she had too much to do. He persisted, but she insisted that it was not possible this time. Truth be told, the pastor's wife was petrified that secrets from her past, unknown to her husband, would be revealed. The pastor came home so pumped up after the meeting, sharing everything that had happened with his wife. She smiled and said, "Maybe next time I'll be able to go," believing the prophet would not be coming again for many years. 6 months later, the prophet came back to that town. And this time the pastor insisted that his wife go with him. No matter what she said, he wouldn't take no for an answer. She reluctantly agreed, provided that they wouldn't sit in the preacher's section. She knew that visiting ministers almost always minister to the preachers, the pastors. Her husband agreed, and they sat on the front row on the left-hand side, the preachers being in the center section. When the prophet finished teaching, he announced that during his message, God directed him not to minister to the pastors, but to the people on the left-hand side of the church. Can you imagine how this pastor's wife felt? She felt her worst fears were about to happen, and the secrets of her past revealed to her husband and everyone else in the room. When the prophet stepped in front of the pastor and his wife, the pastor nudged his wife forward, only to have the prophet say, "No, God is telling me something about your wife. Let me prophesy over you first." Can you imagine how the woman's heart sank? She was horrified about what she thought was most assuredly going to happen. The prophet read her husband's mail, revealing his past, telling him what had happened since they'd been together last, and again giving him a word for his future. The pastor was in tears as the prophet called his wife forward. The prophet told her the reason she was last was because God told him there was some serious sin in her past. The room grew very quiet as the saints slipped to the edge of their seats, anticipating the prophet's next words. Inquiring minds, honey, wanting to know. The woman could barely maintain her composure. She was petrified of what was about to happen. Everybody in the room got quiet in anticipation. The woman was barely breathing. The prophet said, "So I asked God to reveal to me what your serious sin was." And God said, then the prophet paused before saying, "God said, I don't remember." Child of God, your Heavenly Father not only forgives your sins, He forgets them as well. It's time for you to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Such power in that story.
Number five. Stop looking in the rearview mirror at the sins in your past. Isaiah 43, verse 18 in the Message Bible says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. The scripture is very clear about how God feels about those who are looking back at past hurts, failures, sins. I mean, it just doesn't make him happy. And you know what? It doesn't make the person happy either. If you doubt what we've said, carefully, and I mean carefully, read the words of Luke 9, verse 62. Luke 9, 62 in the Contemporary English Version. It says, Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom.
Hallelujah, it's true. Number six, God's not the one dropping a load of guilt by your house. I said this just a few minutes ago. Listen, if you messed up, not only does the enemy not want you confessing your sins, he wants to just make you guilty about your past.
Psalm 51, verse 9 in the New Living Translation. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. That's confessing before the Lord.
That's it. This particular trick of the devil can sometimes be overwhelming because we keep looking at and rehearsing our past mistakes. Honey, the number one key to removing guilt, as you and I have talked about, is in Psalm 51:10.
The prayer before that David made before the Lord in Psalm 51, verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And his mercies are renewed day by day.
Honey, that's so true. Whatever is in your past, turn it over to God, as the scripture says, and let him renew your spirit.
Amen. One more verse, Isaiah 6. Verse 7, Isaiah 6:7 in the New Living Translation says, now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
Number seven, when you mess up your life, ask for his help and he'll become the most valuable player on your team.
Hallelujah. Job 33:26. Job 33:26 in the Message Bible. Oh, or you may fall on your knees and pray to God's delight. You'll see God smile and celebrate, finding yourself set right with God. You'll sing God's praises to everyone you meet, testifying, I messed up my life. And let me tell you, it wasn't worth it. But God stepped in and saved me from certain death. I'm alive again. Once more, I see the light.
Here's the bottom line. If you mess up, don't fret or freak out. Confess your sins and move on with what God has destined you to do. That's what the enemy wants to steal. Don't let it. Fess up. If you mess up, fess up. Get up.
And keep going.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the glory of God. I say don't let the enemy have 1 minute of pleasure
That's
in
it.
Making you feel bad because you are a child of the Most
Hi, God. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHarry.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching, then just ask God what CD to have you put in the ground. Do what he says.
That's all we ever ask.
That's it. Till tomorrow morning, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.